It's 10 o'clock on Sunday night.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
This is Wes.
And this is Bubba.
And you're listening to Geek Week. Welcome to another wonderfully entertaining episode of Geek Week. Yes. I am West, and I'm alongside Bubba.
Yes.
Bubba's back with us. Jason and Derek are probably along sometime later in the week. We've moved our podcast to a different location, so it's kind of cramped here, and we're working on getting that situated. So I'd like to apologize if the sound quality is not up to snuff, but I'm back to using my old microphone until I can find a place for my mixing board.
And I think it will kind of help it being in a more concise location so it's not all spread out, the static interference. And
we've been having trouble getting everybody together, and we've come to a little better area. So we're working on it, and I appreciate you people downloading us. Whether you're listening to us or not is remaining to be seen because no one has commented yet.
No Please. Emails, no phone calls, no MySpace requests.
I will interview the first person who gives me a comment that's not involved with the podcast. That means you, Jason. Anyway, news of the week. Spinach is bad.
Spinach is very bad.
Don't eat spinach.
Somebody should tell Popeye.
I am what I am.
Yeah, that's right. It's a real geek on this show, let me tell you. We're going to talk about a couple of diverse topics this evening.
Diversity is good.
The first one's not really a sci-fi fantasy thing. It's more like a rant. I remember when I was in high school, the first goth person I met, I thought they were the coolest people ever. I mean, they're wearing black, they're so depressed, they're reading poetry, Edgar Allan Poe is their friend, and they were different. You know, they made their own clothes, it was really cool, but now they have stores for goth.
I have never been that enthralled with the entire goth vision to begin with. It's just these quasi-depressed people sit around and mope and all black clothes, black dyed hair, liquid paper white faces, and sit there and listen to music that talks about I slit my wrist and I want to watch you bleed type of Morrissey or the Smiths type stuff. It's just,
I don't know, I go to the mall and I see all these kids with their big zippered black pants and they're wearing, you know, electrical tape on their hands and they're like, we live in the goth culture. And it's like, I like to call them, or we at Geek Week like to call them non-conforming conformists. Originally, they were about don't conforming, you don't have to wear your Gap jeans, you don't have to wear your Izod shirts, and now they're wearing freaking
Gap goth pants and Izod goth shirts.
They're wearing name brand goth clothing
that comes pre-shredded and pre-taped, and
it takes all the fun out of it. It's like lazy goth.
Right. It's, you used to be goth because you could spend so little on your clothes and still have that kind of niche that you fit in.
Cool. It was not the clothes that made the man or woman.
Well, it was the appearance.
Or whatever kind you want.
True. It was the appearance that first got the people's attention. And
that then
was,
you found out they had such a great personality and they were very smart and intelligent. And I'm not saying these people aren't smart and intelligent. Well, they wouldn't be buying those clothes if they were. I mean, they'd make their... Come on, folks. Go to New York. Go to L.A. Meet a real goth person. You're not going to find many of them in Georgia, and when you do, they're some of the coolest people you ever meet, and they're not clicky kids. Clicks are the opposite of goth, and that's what the goths are doing. They are clicks. And that's my rant.
They're very anti-click, if you will. Unclick, two-click, three-click.
No, they're anti-anti-click.
So then they're ultra-clickish.
They're together in their clickiness. Anyway, we digress. We've wasted 4 minutes of time. We apologize for that. In your brain at the moment.
Did you happen to catch the season premiere of CSI?
Yes, I did, actually. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I was very impressed. They set it up in a... It was basically the entire episode plus like the first 10 minutes of next week's.
You think that's what the end of it was?
Yeah.
Was setting up for next week's? Well, it's a two-parter, so...
Yeah. But they've got Catherine Willows under the impression that she was date-raped with the roofies, and they are investigating the murder of a music producer who was killed, and a little diorama setup of the exact replica of the murder scene.
Which was pretty wickedly done, I might add. By the way, spoiler alert for anyone who hadn't seen it. Sorry. You got past me. But I thought the acting was superb. William Peterson was at his absolute best playing Grissom's character. And it looks like we're going to have a really bang-up season in CSI.
Very much. And for those of you who watched the season finale last year, know that Jim Brass was shot in the line of duty and, of course, recovered. In this episode, he received a
Medal of Valor
for his selfless giving of risk by going into that hotel room knowing there was a man with a gun to save the hostage.
He said he didn't want a remembrance of the dumbest thing he'd ever done.
So he pretty much just threw the award in his desk and moved on.
There's also a little bit more character development between the I won't say lesser characters, but the non-in-charge characters like Nick and Warwick.
Yeah.
And Sarah. And it looks like they're all going to have a nice little story arc this year. From what I've read, just spoiler-wise, that they're all going to see tragedy by the end of the season. It looks like this could be William Peterson's last season as Gil Grissom, which is saddening to me because his contract's up at the end of the year and he wants to move on to Broadway. So we want to wish him luck and hope it doesn't work out so we can come back to CSI. No, I'm just kidding. I hope everything well because Grissom's my favorite character on the show and it's not going to be the same without him, but more power to you.
Yes. Good luck, Gil.
I happened to see the premiere of Kidnapped. I don't think Bubba saw that.
No, I missed that one. I didn't seem to watch that.
At first I was like, what kind of show could it be if it's replacing Law and Order on Wednesday night? Because they've moved Law and Order to Friday, which is the kiss of death.
It's now going up against Numbers, which I think will definitely drop its numbers.
Yeah. Ba-doom-boom-ts. I think there's going to be an interesting season. There's a lot of quality shows on, and a lot of quality shows made it back.
I think what is really hurting Law & Order this year is the fact that Dennis Farina left. They killed off yet another ADA. So Law & Order now has its first female lead detective, as well as a replacement ADA who has done a little time on CSI Miami, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Alana De La Garza is playing the new ADA on Law & Order, and I am eager to see how she does.
I'm sure she'll be fine. I mean, it's basically NBC's version of CSI, kind of.
Exactly.
You know, it's
just a little bit cooler temperatures than she's used to filming.
Yeah, it's the show that keeps on going, and I hope it makes it to 20 years like The Simpsons is going to before they cancel it. That's all I got to say about that. They Call Me Earl was...
My name is Earl.
My name is Earl. I can't remember that. I don't know why they keep calling it They Call Me Earl. I guess They Call Me Trinity. That's bad redneck movies.
They Call Me Trinitarl.
Trinitarl. Was hilarious as usual, I might add. The sophomore season looks like it's going to turn out okay. Usually shows kind of flounder a little bit in the second season, and then third season they usually hit their stride. That's generally how a show goes. If you watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer, if you watch Buffy's second season, well, actually, that's an instance where the second season, that's not a good example at all. Buffy was good, and it got better every season to the end. Well, much like 6 is a little bit down. Yeah, 24 gets better even though it's exactly the same, with the exact same plot,
same
characters.
It's cookie-cutter formula with different villains and substructure. But this last season was just phenomenal.
It rocked! But, I'm looking forward to 24 coming back. We got another, 4 months to go?
It starts in the middle of January.
Can't wait.
And I keep hearing conflicting reports about what this new season is supposed to be. On one hand, I hear that he has escaped from the Chinese prison, he's being held hostage, and the 24 hours is him trying to escape China. And then I've heard that it takes place after he has been rescued from China, and it's another
terrorist tries to take over the world plot.
But one confirmed signing that I have heard is Cal Penn, who is more well-known as Taj Mahal Badalandabad from Van Wilder, or Kumar from Helden Kumar Go to White Castle.
Gotta get a slider.
Yes.
What's another show we were talking about a minute ago? I saw ER wasn't impressed with it.
Missed it. I've never been impressed with ER, but it just looks like it gets stupider and stupider.
I haven't been impressed with ER in about 5 years. That
it
show
puts
is
the in stupider.
Yeah, it's done. It's time to
stick a fork in it.
And stick a scalpel in it and let it bleed. Anyway, back on target. Kidnapped. Very good. Very well done. Very exciting. Jeremy Sisto is excellent in it. It's got the cast from hell. It's Jeremy Sisto as, I forget his name, but he's like this independent contractor they hire to rescue this kidnapped millionaire's son. Kidnapped son of a millionaire. There we go. That's better. Millionaire's played by Timothy Hutton. Those of y'all remember Timothy Hutton from all those 60s, 70s, and 80s...
Taps and Turk 182. He was a renegade, psychotic military officer in The General's Daughter.
He was really good in 5 Days to Midnight.
And yeah, and went in Ordinary People, too.
Yeah, he was. Was he in Class, or was that Rob Lowe and...
Rob Lowe and Andrew McCarthy.
Okay, I get him and Andrew McCarthy mixed up all the time. Basically, his wife's played by Dana Delaney. Delroy Lindo is in it playing an FBI agent. Linus Roche is in it playing another FBI agent. It's just a killer cast, and they all are very well in this. Very well. I think the guy who played RoboCop in RoboCop 3 is a villain in it. I can't remember what his name is.
I forget his name.
He was in Thinner. Remember Thinner?
I remember Thinner. It's a three-word name. It's like Robert John Burke.
I think Robert John Burke's the villain. I could be wrong, but I think that's who I saw. Not to be confused with the Burke guy that played Corky on Life Goes On.
Chris Burke. I haven't even seen an episode of that show yet. I would be willing to go out on a limb right now and say that Linus Roach is the inside job.
You think?
That would be my assumption at this point.
Well, you're probably right. He's the up-and-coming guy that's supposed to take Delroy's place when he retires, and, you know, he's stepping on his toes, and Delroy doesn't want to retire now, and that was just the first episode. Way, way, way above quality of the other lesser-known one, Vanished from Fox, which sucks balls. Pardon my French, but it does.
I understand there's been a trend for the last 30 years of once a year there will be two movies that come out right on the heels of each other that are identical in plot, storyline, and everything.
You had
Armageddon and Deep Impact, Volcano and Dante's Peak, Poseidon and the TV version of the Poseidon Adventure.
That's a little different. Usually they're in the theater or on TV together.
But it's just...
Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, now, I talked to a bunch of people at Dragon Con just to get off subject, which is what I'm really good at. And they all love Ghostbusters 1 and hate Ghostbusters 2. And I'm one of those people that I love Ghostbusters 2 as much as I like Ghostbusters 1. It's not as good.
I liked it not as much.
I'm a purist. If you're a purist, you like them all. If you like Jaws, you like Jaws the Revenge.
Or if you like The Fast and the Furious, you'll like Fast and the Furious Tokyo Dipshits. Drift.
You don't necessarily have to like Tokyo Drift. And thanks, Bubba, we now have to go with the unclean rating for this show. Folks, don't let your kids listen to this. We'll go explicit.
Yes. I am not very family friendly.
Oh, he's just friendly to your family.
It's okay to love your family, just don't love your family.
Such a good movie. I just think there's not a lot of imagination in Hollywood, and when one guy has one idea and the other one has another idea,
they pretty much steal from each other and pretty much produce the same
movie. And hope that their movie comes out first and gets all the recognition. You know something I want to kind of mention, and this is way out in left field. I don't know where this is coming from, but have you noticed how any movie that shows a dinosaur in it since Jurassic Park just looks done? Like,
yeah,
it's a dinosaur. Even though it may look even better, it's just Jurassic Park did such a good job with it that...
It's just one of those classic cases of Simpsons did it.
Yeah. It's just like, and everybody wants a dinosaur in there. Like, King Kong had to rip the jaws off a dinosaur.
It's just this whole new vein of feature creatures that they try to improve upon the 1993 model that Steven Spielberg created But there is no...
There's no way to improve.
There's no way to one-up it because it was just so picture-perfect at that point that he was so far ahead of his game that everything else is a pale comparison.
I've got an idea for a comment that I want people to comment about on our... I don't know if we got a forum or not. If we have a forum, put it there. But if not, we have comments underneath our each individual podcast. Please comment and say something along the lines of, give me your top five most favorite movies. Bubba, what are your top five most favorite movies?
Top five of all time. Saving Private Ryan. Black Hawk Down.
Well, which one's five?
Well, I'm going from okay, one five, to five.
One to five. So your number one favorite movie of all time, Saving Private Ryan.
Okay. Black Hawk Down. Pearl Harbor. We Were Soldiers, Glory.
I smell a trend. Or did you fart?
A little bit of both. But I do have to say my number one all-time non-war-related movie is Almost Famous.
Almost Famous is very good. My top five all-time favorite films from least favorite to best favorite. Number five, I didn't say Saving Private Ryan. And then number four, Schindler's List. Number three is Jurassic Park. Number two is Jaws, and my number one favorite film of all time today is The Godfather, which I think is probably the best movie ever made.
It was a very good movie, yes.
Just but very good.
Point in reference to your mention of Jurassic Park, that was one of the first movies we ever saw together, as a matter of fact.
That's true.
If that tells you how old we are.
Not that we're dating, but no, we just really made that sound like we were dating, and we're not. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I didn't say the first movie we ever, like, went on a date to see. It's to clarify, we were working at the theater here in Carrollton back when it was still the Cobb Mall 6 Cinemas.
Before they killed the big auditoriums and made it the Kent Mall 8.
Yeah. But it was the night before the full release of Jurassic Park, all the employees got to get together and watch the movie. And seeing as how he and I were both employees at the theater, we got to hang out with our theater buddies and watch Jurassic Park.
Actually, you're incorrect on that one. I didn't start working there until after the movie was released in the theater. Ah ha 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 ha! I did sit and watch Crying Game with you, however.
I never saw Crying Game in the theater.
Okay, that was, maybe that wasn't you.
That was Alan McCall. I remember y'all telling me about that.
Well, we had a theater manager who happened to be...
deaf and gay.
Deaf and gay, and he was really cool. Mark, if you're out there, God bless you.
sexual harassment.
But we were watching The Crying Game, and it's before everybody knew the big secret in the middle. And,
well, it wasn't a very big secret.
But in Carrollton, Georgia, it was. So we're in there watching it.
I mean,
and it's
the
just...
secret wasn't very big.
Oh, I gotcha. We're in there watching this very tautly written crime thriller starring Stephen Ray and Jay Davison. And Jay Davison, as some of you might know, was Ra in Stargate, the movie.
Very don't forget Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah, Forrest Whitaker was in it. And they were very... he's very feminine, Jay Davidson. But the whole movie, the guys in the back are like, God, she's hot. I would sleep with her. And but they were saying more explicit things.
Yes, yes.
And at one point in the movie, her pants drop, and she's got extra appendages. And then Mark jumps up and turns around and goes, ah, just starts laughing at everybody because they were, like, hitting them.
You straight people.
But it's just a funny little anecdote. But no, Bubba, I actually started about 3-4 days maybe after Jurassic Park came out. Was my first day. It was still like hopping crazy. But it was the first movie I saw. I got hired that day and went straight to see Jurassic Park before I even started working there. So I took well advantage of the... I remember going to see The Firm.
I remember we saw The Fugitive back-to-back.
Oh, I remember seeing that.
But what it was, we didn't... There was a big theater organization that saw the... late night at Jurassic Park again about 2 weeks after it was released.
Oh, was that it?
So we sat around, we drank beer and got just absolutely trashed watching Jurassic Park. Then we all went to Crystal's.
I think I remember that. But the first night I ever worked there, I worked with Bubba. He showed me how to make popcorn. That sounded really, really bad.
That sounded very bad.
He said he had a better popcorn.
Because before he made that comment, I was going to say that my secret ingredient to the popcorn was extra salt.
Stop.
And a few extra squirts of butter.
Stop. You know, the women that we date probably won't appreciate that.
Maybe not.
Anyway, we're just kidding about a whole homoerotic crap. Not that it's crap.
Yes, pretty much. You know, Brokeback Cinema.
Anywho, we had a lot of fun at the movie theater. We had a lot of fun. Saw a lot of interesting, neat people and wanted to make them bleed. Anyway, I think we're going to have a short podcast this evening. It's late, and I really wanted to kind of just touch base and say hello and get those downloads up and start getting people to just give me some feedback. We don't know how we're doing. I've done 17 of these podcasts.
We need feedback, comments, requests, any suggestions that you may have for future topics. Let us know how you feel, what you think, any hot ladies out there, phone numbers, perhaps.
Send your underwear, too. Just kidding about the underwear, but we just want to know how we're doing. Now, I've been doing these podcasts. This is our 17th episode, although not at this particular site.
I may digress, that's just really hitting the stride of your peak and prime. As you remember, Chicago's 17th album was their big release that had You're the Inspiration, Along Comes a Woman, Stay the Night, Hard Habit to Break.
So are you saying that I'm going to go downhill from there and sound like Peter Cetera?
Pretty much.
Dang.
Although it might not be a bad thing, because just think of all the women friends that Peter Cetera got.
Yeah, well, that's true. Very true.
Could be interesting. But we're not in Chicago, so I really don't know if that qualifies.
All I was trying to say was I've done 17 of these and have yet to hear back from anyone other than a couple of people that I know that do podcasts other than this, like the guys from Doctor Who Podshock seem to think it's okay. Actually listed us on their site, I noticed, in their web links section, and I really, really, really appreciate that. They're probably wondering where we are, though, because I got our old site listed there, and I got to send an email to them so they can catch up. I will say that for those of you who are interested, we do have classic episodes that are going to come out. Classic, remastered, special effect heavy episodes.
Okay, George Lucas.
Okay. No, I'm going to try to post those for those of y'all that never downloaded us from the other site.
So in these episodes, is Greedo going to shoot first?
Greedo doesn't even come into it. We talk about other stuff. This is before Bubba. It was BB.
BB.
It's when Jamie was here. Jamie moved away. Jamie's living, you know, about 100 miles away from here in Birmingham. He will be back from time to time, and as soon as I get his computer set up with his high-speed internet, he will be joining us on a weekly basis from Skype land, which will be really cool. I hope to have, if Jason Chuang, if you're listening, I'm going to get to you, man, I swear. I tried to call you tonight and realized it was really late.
And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
I would like to plug something. There's an organization in Atlanta called Atlanta Gallifreyans, and they, along with, let me look it up real quick. It's the Atlanta Gallifreyans and the Atlanta Stargate Society, which I'm not sure what they're called, and I apologize to anyone who's a member. If someone could send me some feedback and tell me the name of your organization, I'll get it right. I think it's Stargate Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. But they have a one-day convention coming up on October 7th at the Elks Lodge in Tucker, Georgia. It's called Timegate 4. It's a one-day Doctor Who and Stargate convention, and it runs from 11:45-ish to about midnight. It looks like there's going to be all kinds of fun things to do. Like there's a laser tag challenge. So it looks
team
like
trivia.
Team trivia is something I think I want to do. The Atlanta Radio Theater Company is going to be performing, it looks like. And they're going to have panels about Doctor Who and Stargate. It sounds like it could be a lot of fun. And they need to get some membership up, because it'd be really cool to be able to make enough money for these guys so they can actually get a guest to come to one of these and sign some autographs. So we want something in the wintertime that rivals Dragon Con. That's my goal. So give the Timegate guys a ring. They have a nice website at www.timegatecon.org. That's timegatecon.org. Those guys will be very appreciative if you get in touch with them. I just joined the Atlanta Gallifreyans Yahoo page, and I'm really, really enjoying reading the talkback that they got in there. And it made me feel real welcome within minutes. It was incredible. It was really cool. Doctor Who fans are always really nice. Not the Star Trek fans aren't nice, but it's, you know, Star Trek's done.
Stick a fork in it. Let it bleed.
Anyway, so give the Time Gate guys a look-see and go to their convention on October 7th. It sounds like it'll be a lot of fun. We'll be there.
12 hours of fun in the sun.
If you've seen the movie Trekkies, you'll know what I'm talking about. Anyway.
Or if you were waiting in line for 8.5 hours to get tickets for Star Wars Episode 1,
you'll know what we're talking about.
Yes.
It's probably going to be a lot of fun. They're going to have a DJ and some live band music toward the end of the night and serve dinner. So, I mean, it's $10 at the door, $7 if you order from PayPal. I would say give them a shot. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And it's 12 hours of just wall-to-wall Time Gate.
All of us guys from PodShock will be there. Me and Jamie and Jason and Derek and Bubba. And Jason, way over there in Montgomery, Mr. Schwong, we hope he gets there too. So it'll be a lot of fun. It's one day. You don't have to go to a hotel and spend the night. And
although if you meet somebody at the convention, you might very well want to get a hotel room.
We're not quite at Dragon Con status yet. There's been some legendary hookups at Dragon Con that we're not going to talk about here. But
yeah, like me and Carrie Fisher?
Yeah. I don't know. I would have admitted that, Bubba. I know she won't. Anyway, I want to say thank you for listening to our shorter podcast. And, oh, yeah, give us a feedback on if you like the shorter ones or you'd rather just ramble on a little bit more. I know, like, the Doctor Who Podshot guys can go up to 2 hours. And while I personally think that's incredible and I like listening to them, a lot of people will seem to have problems with it. So if we're too short, we'll add some length. If we're too long, tough.
Yes. And the shorter editions make it easier for us to put out more than one a week.
Well, we want to do no more than two because, you know, there's a lot of podcasts out there. We don't want to corner the market and peak too early. Anyway, from the grandiose studios here in sunny Bremen, Georgia, this is West.
Where have you been today?
In the rain, actually. This is West.
And this is Bubba.
And we want to thank you for listening. Have a good evening.
Surprise, surprise, so you rub your eyes. Never knew you'd be yes, so cool as eyes. Hit a fight then, there was stupefy. Ducks categorize us as hard cries. That's a lie, we know why we're occupiers. No blurs but obscure style and these are higher. Profiles are low as soon as we go. As a deeper shade of soul.
Deeper shade of soul. Yeah.
connect.